I kind of went over that thing in Genesis again. Do you want me to go back over that? If you came, I was going to do that for you. Andy?
Me?
Yes. The thing you emailed me on about...
Genesis?
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to start there.
I don't think I did, Barry.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, the first thing that comes with age is memory loss. So don't feel bad.
I'm way down the pipe.
What, John, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, I really am, but I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah. About the imagery of God and us being made in His image and on and on. You wrote it to me about 3 weeks ago, and I haven't seen you, so I've been holding it until you.
Oh, you know what? I know what it was. You were talking about that, but our signal was coming and going.
Yeah,
that's what it was. You're right. You were getting ready to say something about our image, but we lost the signal. So when I emailed you back, I said missed that part.
All right. Well, let me just go over that real quick because this is kind of important and really deals with redemption and salvation and all these things that we deal with. But go to Genesis chapter 1 and let me just go over this. This will be like a sub-note before we get started. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, and the Bible says, and God said, let us, and by the way, what is us?
The Father's Trinity.
Us is a plural pronoun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It isn't one person. It isn't the I or me. It's us. It's a group. It's something more than one. Uh-huh. You got it? When the King James Bible goes, and God says, let us make man in our another plural pronoun. Our image. After our likeness. And on and on. Then God created man in His own image. Verse 27. Well, what made God unique is that He was a triunion being. Go to 1 John 5. Go to 1 John 5. Appreciate everybody joining us on the internet and being part of the class as well. Bull gets on there and helps moderate it with Carlton, and he said we had over 20 people last time.
Wow.
You know, they didn't all stay on, but that's fantastic. In 1 John 5, verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7. Get your Bible pen out. You're going to want to make and mark Galatians, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word is a reference to 1 John 1. The Word became flesh. That Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. They're one unit. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I look around the room, and I see the women have breasts. Older men do too, I can see. There's different color hair. In fact, most of the hair I see are not the same color that is natural. So there's changing as we're seeing. Oh.
All natural. Mostly.
Mostly. Yeah, the highlights and that stuff, that's not me. But
I think I'm the only one.
We all look different. If I look around the room, we all look uniquely different. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We don't all look identical. So the imagery is not that we look like Him, but that we are also a triunion being. Now the animals in here, these dogs, Mia, you are just like, well, I'm mellow. They don't have a tri-union being. Animals, you know, I love the tree huggers and all that out in California. I go out to California. I love those people. But here's the deal. The elephants may be smart, the whales may be smart, and the dolphins may be smart, but they haven't built the Smithsonian. You got it? They're not that smart. They haven't built a plane that they can go up in the air and fly. You understand? They're animals. And they're made with a dual or a bi-union being. They have a flesh and a spirit. We have a flesh, a soul, and a spirit. So we represent God, and we're the only ones that represent God in all this Bible. What is that thing? Is fine.
And the air is just really blowing down through here. If I don't hold my Bible, it blows the sheets. I'm afraid it's going to be
scorching. That means. Give it to Gigi. I'm the grace grandpa. Anyway, in 1 John 5, verse 7, again, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are one. And on and on. This Trinity is what we are made of. Look at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath what? You got it? That's the key. And he that hath not the Son? And that's true in every dispensation. Amen? Mm-hmm. I mean, in this dispensation, in the kingdom dispensation, people say, why can you apply 1 John 5:7? Because dispensational verse. Everybody that has the Son has life, period. That's how you have life. The Son is life. You gotta have the Son. Alright, so what's the dealy willy? Well, when we fell, when man fell and had the fall, go back to Genesis chapter 5. Watch this. We weren't really made in the images of God. And this is where the whole... Guys, this is where the whole deal gets started, really. The whole problem then is sin. And it's not sins as you commit sins. It's the sin that you are by nature. It's what you became here that makes a difference. In Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created men, in the likeness of God made He him, male and female created He them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. And they called his name Seth. What happened to Abraham? To Abel?
He died.
He died, and what happened to Cain? He was marked and put in the land of Nod. So the first on the line that counts to us in this room is Seth. You got it? Guess what image you were born in? Adam's image. Now, what's the difference between God's image and Adam's image now?
Sin entered in.
Now we don't look like God. Why? Because God doesn't have any sin over here. Go to Romans chapter 5. You all got the idea of sin now? Go to Romans chapter 5. Gigi, let's show him. Come here, bring him here.
Aww.
We got to show this sweet baby. Hey guys, I'm a Gigi Paul. That's a Grace Grandpa. This is our new addition to our class up here. This is Lisa and this is Sullivan. Hi Sullivan, can y'all see him? Can we zoom in or anything? Hi. He's so beautiful. He takes after me. Thank God it didn't take after Curtis. Amen. There's a few things I'm thankful for in life. A pretty mama. I had the same thing. My people say, your daughter's beautiful. It looks just like your wife. I know. I mean, that baby has more hair than daddy does. I'm going to spoil this one, I'm telling you. It's going to be bad. The other grandma and grandpa better step up the thing. No coverings either. We're playing in the fight fair, okay? All right, go to Romans chapter 5. Y'all there? And I want you to read with me in verse 12. Now watch this. This is what it really is all about, guys. It is not about anything else. It isn't. People think it's all kinds of things. Romans chapter 5 is the true explanation of what has all happened. Let me see if I can show you. Wherefore, verse 12, as by one man sin entered into the world. Okay. So, the sin entered in by what?
One man.
Who's that one man?
Adam.
And so, that sin, then when they have a baby, instead of looking like the image of God, guess what they look like?
The image of Adam.
They had sin in them. And that's been for every generation. So why do babies die?
Sin.
Say, well, they haven't gone out and smoked pot. Well, too bad. They will miss that one. No. No, come on. And they're not going to hell for smoking pot. They're going to hell because of what they are. You understand? Sin. Now, a baby doesn't go to hell. You know that, right? I mean, it doesn't understand. It hadn't rejected any gospel. What sends you to hell today?
Rejecting
the gospel. A baby hadn't done that. So if a baby dies, it doesn't go to hell. He just waits until the Lord is ready for him at the great white throne probably and resurrects him. Sin has entered into every man. How did that happen? Yeah. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon how many men?
All men.
Has anybody... Brenda's mom died. Why did she die?
Yeah.
She's an Adam. It's an unpreventable... the one thing... And I don't know how many heard the memorial service we did on Wednesday. But you know what? Listen, guys. Death is the one common thing for all men. So that proves to me that we're all in
Adam
and in sin. Not that you have committed sins. Whether you smoke, drink, play cards, cuss, gawk, cheat, steal other people's grandbabies, whatever. It's the sin that's causing you problems. Say, well, I want to confess my... You didn't even mean to lie, maybe. I'll come when you're alive. Where that came from? Like I'll show you. Hey, I'll be at Bible class Monday night at 7. And they don't show up. That's called a liar. Say, where are you? I was busy in Bible study. I think you're a liar. Why would that person lie? He's born in sin. So let's read down. Watch what happens. This is the fascinating thing about all this. For until the law, Sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is
no law.
That is, you can't commit sins. I can't tell whether you commit sins unless we have a law. Now, if I put out a speeding sign and I was like, Brent, you know, and you went by in 65 and a 55, I might have to throw my blue lights on and say, hey.
Get over.
That's okay?
66.
I had pretty high standards. I had to look for 15 usually.
Wow.
Some of them start at 7.
Where were you when I needed you? The other guy thought 10 was pretty high. I said, I was just taking the grace I thought you were giving me. This is the law. It's not grace. That's what he said. You have to pay the fine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, where there's a law, I can say, oh, sinner! Oh, sinner! That's the only way I can judge it. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I can't see sin without a law. But if it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, and I see you with another woman, guys, I'm like, that's adultery. You see? Sin is defined by the law, but why did everybody still die? Because of the word sin. That's the evil thing right there. That's it. That's the whole... See, people want to make it, they're cussing, and you can live as righteously as you want. Here's the problem. It doesn't change what you are. You can live a perfect life, listen to me, and you would still drop off and die and go to hell.
That's right.
You know why? You haven't changed that. So how does it change? We'll look at it in the passage. And by the way, look at this again. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. How many laws was there back in Adam's day?
Zero.
No, that's not true.
One.
Who said that? The same one that said zero. Well, anybody can switch. I would call that cheating on a test.
Law.
Do not eat of the tree.
Do not eat of the tree. It was a dietary law. But so how did God forbid?
Did you just say that?
We did not just have an earthquake. Rhoda, she dropped her book.
Is that what it was?
And knocked over her glass, almost. And that was it. We weren't really getting raptured or there was no earthquake. You know, that's how they do that on the movies, isn't it, Andy?
Yes.
Shake the camera and you go like this.
I get a real nervous act.
Oh, yeah. This tree, they put a flaming sword out there with a cherubim, make sure nobody got to it. Was that law still in effect? Could they get to it? No, because he had put that flaming sword out there. Mm-hmm. And yet, what happened with everybody outside there? They still died. You got it? They still died. Why?
Sin.
That's the problem. Let me see if they had a question. Yeah. So, the fall came on every man, every man died, but they can't get back in and partake of that. But you know what? What is fascinating to me in the dispensation, that lasted for 2,500 years. Mm-hmm. And then God entered the law, the commandments. Now, you know what's amazing to me? Think about this for a minute. If the law is the way to get to heaven, keeping the commandments, listen to me carefully, for 2,500 years, nobody could make it. Because there was no law other than that one, and it was protected by a flaming sword. Mm-hmm. How did you break it? You see the problem? And yet people were judged. In that 2,500 years, go back to Genesis and look at Genesis chapter 6. Aren't you glad you have me as your Bible teacher this evening?
Oh,
he's yawning over there. He's like, ah, get something exciting.
Something easy.
I mean, you got to remember that there's no law except don't eat of the what?
Tree.
That's the only law. He's blocked away by a flaming sword, kept everybody out. Look at the condition of man, though. Verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you see what happened to man? No law, just went rampant. And so God, in the law, go back to Romans chapter 5. Now this is the most fascinating thing. Why did God enter the law? A lot of people believe the commandments were there to be kept and to make them righteous. And I'm telling you, that was never the intent of God. Ever. That was not the intent of God at all. Otherwise, He would have done it way before 2,500 years. Amen? What He finally decided was He has to show people that they're not any good. Because they think somehow they're good. Even though their thoughts are evil continually. And so in Romans chapter 5 where we're reading, I'm going to skip down to verse 20 and we're going to come back up. Good point, and I'll bring that out. Thank you. Moreover, the law entered. Well, who did it enter with?
Moses.
There's Moses 2,500 years after Adam. And here comes the law. So why did he enter the law? The law entered that the offense might what? So instead of you saying, well, I just tell little lies and they look like little sins. The law was to take that and make it, hey, you are a sinner. I mean, it should have been obvious. I mean, if the law was really enforced today, honest engine, and we were going to go down to the temple, I'd see old Curtis every morning dragging a heifer down there. What are you doing, Curtis? Oh, I'm just offering up for my sins. Dave, what are you doing here, brother? It's good to see you. Let's all go to Hardee's and have breakfast after this. You know, I mean, it'd be a reunion and people would start to see themselves, hey, they're all dragging their animals down. Guess what? They're guilty. How embarrassing would that be? You know how many offerings Job made every day? One for himself, one for his wife, one for each of his kids. Every day.
Wow. If he did that, didn't they have to?
What?
If Job did it for his kids, didn't they have to offer?
No, they took his offerings for them. But you all understand, what was that telling you? I mean, if we had to really take offerings down instead of go to the front of the church and confess, because we get away with a lot of that, right? But they knew without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the proof of that is before the law ever happened, go back, hold on to here, we're going to come right back to Romans 5. Go to Genesis chapter 4. Yes, we never use the Old Testament. I understand, I get accused of that all the time. Wait until we start teaching Leviticus. That is so fun. I'm kidding. I hate Leviticus. There's a few things I hate in life, and that's one of them. Well, there's a couple other things, too. Broke, greedy people.
Broke, greedy people.
I hate them, too. I tell you what else I hate. I hate people that pick their nose. That is gross. I mean, that is just about as ugly as you get. I saw this kid at the funeral going like this. And I'm like, buddy, is it stuck? terrible. That's terrible. You don't get this out of regular preachers, I know. But it's the truth, and you know I'm telling you the truth. Amen? Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. What was God looking for?
Blood.
And by the way, was this before the law entered in? It wasn't because of the blood or the law that they needed the blood. They needed the blood because of what they had become. You understand? There is no relationship to the blood to the law. You got it? It wasn't because you went out and smoked a cigarette that you would have had to offer a blood sacrifice. You needed it because of what you were. That's why there's no law here and they're offering blood sacrifices. Okay, you guys are looking at me awfully strange. I'm going to stare back at you like you're staring at me. Do y'all get that?
Yeah.
That is so important. Because all the people trying to keep the law don't get it. They were sacrificing blood sacrifices before the law. Why? Because of what they were. That's the problem. You can confess and do all that, but you can't get rid of what you are except through blood.
Amen.
Someone just at me?
Amen. I was always under the impression, I guess, that the reason that they sacrifice is because of the law.
No, hello, and that's why I'm trying to preach
that
tonight.
I see that.
It's exciting, isn't it?
No kidding.
I mean, they didn't have the law for 2,500 years, boys and girls. And they still needed a blood sacrifice for what they were.
Yeah.
I'm really working this hard. All right, Romans chapter 5. And I'm sweating. I'm actually working for my money now, baby. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read 13 again, but 14 is where we're headed. Romans 5:13. For until the law... Brenda, are you having a good time? Now, am I acting normal with my wife here?
Yeah, actually
you
are.
Yeah, see, now you guys think I was faking it out just for you. But I treat this little angel with all the love and care. That's why she has been married to me for 27 great years. Isn't that true, honey? Who's your favorite preacher man? Come on, tell the truth. That's right, baby. Who's my favorite preacher wife about this tall? You. I love you. I'm so glad you're with us. This is how you remain married, guys, for a long time. Honey, you're the best. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, what happened? Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Those 2,500 years. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude. And the word similitude, you can put in your Bible. I'm not changing the King James Bible. I believe it. It's like likeness. Similarities, similitudes. That's what it is. In the likeness of Adam's transgression. Why? They couldn't sin after Adam's transgression. They put a flaming sword in front of that thing so you couldn't get to it. Even them that had not sinned after the similitudes of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the what? You don't have to repent for it, walk the aisle, join the church, do anything. It's a free gift. For if through the offense of one, who would that be?
Adam.
You ought to write that in your Bible. Many be dead. Much more the grace of God. Amen. And the gift by grace, it is certainly not by works, which is by one man, Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. Did it say all?
Many.
Only those that will believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not as it was by one that sinned, who would that be? Adam. So is the gift. How many times did they say a gift? Now, you know what's fascinating about this? That gift... Can I get a tissue, somebody? Just paper towel, anything, napkin?
Here's a napkin.
Napkin.
You said here.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you. Second class, and they've already put you to work.
That's good. That's what I need.
Make sure. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Now, guys, listen to me. This stuff is exciting. Why? Well, this whole thing about the free gift, that free gift looks like this. I know you're amazed at my artistic ability.
Is that wearing out?
No, I'm not wearing out, and neither is the pen. Alright, we'll come across. Inside of that box is righteousness.
Wow.
Inside of that box is justified. No, it's not in the box. In the box is holiness. The righteousness of God, by the way.
Yeah.
Holiness, being acceptable, and on is in that box. Now watch this. Wayne, are you always critical? That's the best we can do. The marker's not showing up. You have seen this 100 times, brother. Draw it for yourself. That's funny. He wants so badly to come up here, he can't stand himself. Everybody wants to take a trip. If it wasn't a day up here and a day back, they'd come. That's too far. Yeah, you ought to drive it every week. Anyway, that gift is given to anybody who wants it. All you have to do is receive it. And I'm amazed at people who reject it. Oh, I don't need it. I'm going to be good. I'm going to do this. Why would you do that when the one that can give you life has a gift ready for you that can give you life? Why wouldn't you want that? Well, I think I'd take the hard road. I understand they should come to class if they're that excited. We have 14 people watching tonight. I wish I could do more. I'm doing the best I can. Send extra money for the 1-inch markers. I'll write like this. Okay? These people on the internet get funny. I threatened to take my shirt off Sunday because I was so hot. And one of the girls texted us from our church that was staying home and said, "Don't do that. I'm single. You're tempting me." I understand her dilemma. You know what I mean? I mean... I know how every woman would desire this whale body. You know. I mean, some of these guys work on these six-packs, and they do all these crunches, and they do, you know, obliques, you know, and crunches, and, you know, I got them naturally. It just ripples right down. Crazy. Verse 16. There's nothing right about that, is there? And not... You know she doesn't say anything when I do these crazy things. But after y'all leave, she'll go, "You were a little crazy tonight." And not as it was. I am so happy to have her here. You guys don't even know.
I'm sure you are.
Oh. And not as it was by... If you love your wife as much as I love mine, you will be in good shape 30 years from now, trust me.
Okay.
All right, here we go, 16. I'm going to preach on marriage, I think, right now. And not as... Yeah, everybody at our church was for divorce. No, you know, and they said, everybody at your church is getting divorced. And I said, yeah, and Brent and I are on the rocks. No. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. We all got that. But the free gift is many offenses unto justification. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And here's the verse, 17. Listen to it. For as by one man's offense, death reigned by one. That's Adam. Much more they which receive, and there is the word that Dave was using, is you've got to receive it for yourself. The abundance of grace and the gift of what?
Righteousness.
Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
When was there, you know, listen, all you have to ask yourself is when did you receive it? When did you receive it for you? And if you got a date, you got it. You got the gift. What is it?
Righteousness.
It's righteousness, justified, holy, accepted in the beloved. I mean, I love Ephesians. It's all the gifts you got. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this. All included in this gift, wrapped up as a gift to you. God wants you to have it. You know, people go around and say, yeah, but I'd rather confess my sins. Well, you're not going to get it that way. God isn't going to give it to you because you're working for it. It would be of debt. That's what Romans chapter 4 is all about. Man, doesn't this stuff all start to make sense? At some point, you start to go, hello? In Ephesians chapter 1, in this gift, in this box for you, according as He has chosen us in Him, when? Hey, everybody that is saved has been what? Chosen. When?
Before the foundation of the
world. God knows whether you're going to trust it or not. God knows if you're so egotistical that you think you're going to make it on your own. Wouldn't that be weird? He's done all this, but hey, God, I'll take the hard way. You know who did that? Cain. And you know the expression about Cain is you can't squeeze blood out of a... That's the problem.
Works.
You can't squeeze blood out of all your works either. God's interested in the blood. When did the blood get applied? Once you get the blood applied, He chose you before the foundation of the world. He knew you would. I had sat in a Bible class, I'm not kidding you, for 2 months. And in that 2 months, I sat lost because of pride, thinking it was something I was doing. The day I got saved, I chunked me and clinged to the cross. Y'all understand, the 24th of August, 1983, my whole perspective changed about my salvation. Look at what else. This is unbelievable to me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. Can you imagine knowing what I am, that I'm holy and without blame before Him in love? See, the only way you can accept that is by your mind. Because, man, you can't look at me and say, boy, he deserved it. Man, look at Barry. He slid right on into home plate. Look at that, man. He's really something. No, no, no. I'm telling you, I'm a nothing. Hey, listen. Hang on just a second. It's my daughter. Say hello.
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 How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm preaching a Bible class.
Oh, on Monday?
Well, yes. Everybody say hi.
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 God is only available Sunday and Wednesday.
Yes!
Hey, I'll call you back a little bit. Mom's with me. Mia's with me.
Right.
We're in Kentucky. All right.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. That was my daughter. Sundays and Wednesdays between churches. You got that? I taught her well, didn't I? We're holy and without blame. You know what without blame means? He can't find any blame in Miss Carrie.
That's so neat.
Now, you know, I know there are some people that would see her new hairdo and say, she is in sin. But when God sees her, no problem. She's perfect.
That's why I did it.
You did?
I did it to prove to myself that I don't have to live under the law.
That's true. How does it feel?
Good. Kind of feels good.
I don't know who this person is. I better cut this off.
I tell you, my sisters would condemn me for that.
Anyway, now listen to me. But how does God see her? Like holy and without blame. Without how much blame? Without blame. That is unbelievable, guys. That's the grace of God. Why? You know what you are in Adam. You know what you've done in the flesh. You got it? To think of it. Listen to these things. What? Are you texting me or something? Oh, I thought baby was. We're sinful and without blame before Him in love. That sentence. That's a humbling sentence.
We're
what?
Did you say we're sinful?
No, I said knowing how sinful we are. Oh. Look at that. Uh-huh. And to be holy and without blame before Him in love. How could I be without blame? Gave me the kiss. Mm-hmm. We're predestinated under the adoption of children. We have received redemption through His blood, verse 7. Mm-hmm. We're accepted in the beloved, verse 6. You see that? Mm-hmm. Worthy and bounded toward us all wisdom and prudence. He's given us everything. Guys, go back to Romans chapter 5. Go to Romans chapter 5. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Adam, much more they which receive, and you need to put that receive as a very important thing, put 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, or verse 3, and turn there. First Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also what?
Receive.
You have to receive it. Well, let's study the Greek. I'm not sure I understand that. You understand that fine. Amen? You do not need the Greek to understand that.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
That's great.
So when did you receive it? And if you haven't received it, you know what you don't have? You don't have righteousness. You don't have justification. You're not holy and without blame before Him. You've not been accepted. When did you get the gift? And if you got the gift, what is it that you're doing that's going to improve on what you already are with this gift?
Ain't not a thing.
can't improve on
it. You couldn't.
You see, that's why you are complete in Him. Colossians chapter 2. You got it? That's why you're complete. You don't need to add to it. Why? You've been given a gift with it all in it. How many here has gotten a dollar at one time or another? You got a dollar. That dollar is everything. Have you seen this dollar thing? Have I done it for you?
Me? All right.
Get it out.
What's funny is I got one in the mail today.
A dollar? A
J.D. Powers or something for filling out a questionnaire. I opened up the envelope, it's got a dollar bill in it, which is odd. So I can relate.
Yeah, but there you did what the legalist would have you to do.
You
had to do work for your dollar.
Well, no, they sent me the dollar, and then they're telling you I should go online and fill out a questionnaire.
Well, they're wanting you to work for a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I owe you anything? Do I owe you anything?
No. What?
Have you worked for me at all?
No.
So I don't owe you any wages?
No.
So if I give you a gift, this gift represents righteousness, holiness, salvation, and all of that. You got it?
Yep.
I'm offering you the gift.
Okay.
Is that simple? That's how simple salvation is. You receive it. It's offered to everybody. Not everybody's going to receive it. And the realization is that's like this gift. But now you that don't have the dollar can't get in. You got to have the dollar. You got it? If you don't have the dollar, say, well, I'm going to confess my sins. It won't matter. You need the dollar. You got that? That's why it isn't about your good works. It's about the dollar. The dollar represents this gift. This gift is offered to anybody. Anybody can have it. Can a Muslim have it?
Amen.
Absolutely. How about a homosexual? Could they have it?
Yeah.
How about a jerk?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I am one.
No, you're Dave, the man, the legend. I've seen your t-shirt, brother. You get the gift, you got it. You don't have the gift, you can't come in. And so now I'm God. And I've offered the gift to everybody. He was the only one that wanted to receive it. Well, and Andy. So if you came to...
Give me a chance.
Oh, that's a good point. If I don't give you a chance, I can't judge you whether you would accept it or not. I'm going to need some extra money. Can I borrow some? Carrie, do you have any
more? That's all right. I understand. I've got the gift, so.
When did you get the gift?
January 21.
You know you got the gift.
I know, I did. Absolutely.
You see how it works? But if you don't have the gift, you can't get in. Say, well, I'm going to be a really good person. Doesn't matter. You need the gift. Say, well, I want to confess my sins. Go ahead. It won't change it. You need the gift. People say, well, after you get saved, you need to do good. Well, I'm already made righteous. I'm the righteousness of God. Some guy mocked me on the internet saying, well, Barry thinks he's as righteous as God. Well, let me show you what the Bible said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all I can do is believe God. I know I don't look righteous to you. And I know that I fail you most of the time. But listen, it won't change what I am. Well, I'm going to read 19 to 21, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I explained to you.
Okay, that's good. That's a good clinging verse. That was one I did right after I got saved. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world on Himself, everybody, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Why?
Not imputing their trespasses.
Why is God not imputing your trespasses to you?
Because Jesus died for
us.
He took your sin and put it on His Son.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What does do with mean?
It's like to understand.
Okay.
To wit. Yeah. Andy, did you ever do any Shakespeare stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Play?
Yeah.
So they use words like to wit and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is very Elizabethan. To the ultimate.
Yeah.
To the ultimate.
Yeah.
Here's the reason.
Absolutely. Look at verse 21. For he, that's God of verse 20, see that, the reconciled to God, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin, notice not, sins. He's been made sin for you. Why? The problems weren't the sins. How did I prove that? For 2,500 years they had to offer blood sacrifices even though they didn't have any law. They weren't breaking the commandments. It is what they became through Adam and the image of being a fallen man.
Clear.
Mm-hmm.
Very clear.
Very clear. I mean, hello? Yes, but I want to be this. Okay. You know, I want splendid pagans living next to me. You know what I mean? I want moralists next door. But here's the problem. Morality is not spirituality.
Amen.
You understand the difference? You can be moral all you want. Morality is great. I love... People say, well, if I believe what you believe, I'd go out and sin. I doubt it. It doesn't cause me to do that. I just got saved by the blood of Jesus. Let's have an orgy. Oh, you got to be kidding me. That really made you want to do that?
No.
No. I mean, people are so, you know, well, let us do evil that good may come then. Well, look what Paul said about that. Romans chapter 3. I'm not telling anybody to go out and sin. In fact, be the nicest people you can be. Especially around me. I want you to be nice. But you need the gift. Being nice won't change what you are. You know, it reminds me of a plant, you know. This lady, she bought this plant and that plant stunk. I mean, it stunk like terrible. I mean, the flowers on it stunk. And so she thought, well, what I'll do is I'll fix it up. As much like religion does. And so she got some perfume on that plant and sprayed it. Looked good for a little while. Smelled pretty good. Then about a week later, guess what?
Still stink.
It came back. That old stink. So I say, lady says, I'm going to change the pot that it's in and I'm going to plant some flowers around it. Does all that? All the flowers died. Guess what? The plant still stunk. That's you in your sin nature. And you can do all the flour and all the perfuming and all the smell you want. So finally you decide, there ain't no place in this house this plant can go. I got to put it outside. You put it outside and hope that it grows and stuff. But you know what? It stinks so bad it stinks up the backyard. That's what you are inside. You got it? I tell you how idolatry. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. Babies are a good example. I'm glad you brought Sullivan so I could add them in my sermon. But I guarantee you the mom and dad looked at that baby and said, oh, he's got your nose. Oh yeah, he's got your eyes. We're self-idolaters. We want that baby in our image. I mean, I am a little confused. If you know, you have two white people and they have a oriental baby, I'm going to start to wonder, you know? You know what I mean? But we're self-idolaters. We want that. We want kids in our own image. We don't really have children for the glory of God. We have it to please our flesh. Think about it. That's the truth of it. And we love them little boogers. And you know what? We love them when they lie. You know, I love when they disobey. I mean, Jamie, my daughter, don't touch that. And she just stared right at me, reaching for it. You know, I still loved her. But I saw in those images immediately what I was to God. And that baby didn't get trained anywhere. I guarantee you, Curtis and Lisa have already learned this lesson in, what, 2 weeks now? Week and a half? I'm with Gigi Paul. Anyway, that baby will start to cry if it hadn't done it already. And you go over there and you try nursing it, not me, but the mom. And you nurse that baby and she spits the nipple out and like, I don't want it. Put it back down. Pick the baby up, starts crying again, and stick the finger in the old side pocket of the old thing and see if it's wet or pooping. Nope, it's okay. You know what that baby wants? It wants to be held. A selfish intent for himself, a comfort. Just like we do. And you don't have to teach a child that. That child learns that on its own because it was born into a nature that produces that. And that baby's going to lie to you? Say, not my child. Well, how many here lied to their parents at one time or another that told them they weren't going to be out too late and they were out another hour? Huh? It's just a white little lie. And so God did what? Entered in the law so we could see what we really were. Because we were missing the point. We're thinking, we're not bad with just telling that little lie. I mean, that baby did worse than I did. You got it? And it's because of what we are. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Oh, I wanted to show you something in Romans 3 I didn't even get to. Uh-huh, thought I missed it, didn't you, Curtis? But I am so profoundly on top of my game, this is what you get. Verse 7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why am I yet judged a sinner? And not rather, here it is, here's the verse, as we have been slanderously reported. Anybody tell you that we said, well, just go out and commit adultery? As we've been slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is what? They don't get it. I've never said that ever. But people tell me that I've told you guys to live like hell on earth. That ain't the case. I've got you guys studying your Bible for the first time in your life. Interested in the Word of God for the first time in your life. You know, there's a zeal about you guys that is going on. And people want to tell you guys that what I've told you to do is just go out and sin. He said those people's damnation will be just. God's going to send them to hell. They don't get it. Hello? Romans chapter 5. G.G. Paul. we're going to have to get him some monogram stuff. This is from my G.G. Paul. And we're going to make Elwood and Larry so freaking crazy that they're going to both have to confess. They're going to cuss me under their breath after I get done with this child. Are they showing? I think the horns are down. Go to Miss Carrie.
She's not jumping her out,
but
she
can. I'm not sure what she
can do. I don't know. Anyway, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, hallelujah, the free gift came upon all men on the justification of life. You got that gift? You're justified. How cool is that? For as by one man's disobedience, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, many were made sinners, by the obedience of one shall many be made what?
Righteous.
Man, you want the righteousness of God? You got to get the gift. Mm-hmm. It's already been done. Everything was done 2,000 years ago. It isn't like God's going to get back on the cross and say, oh, let me do it again. He ain't going to do that. It's a done deal. Romans chapter 5 is about two men. Two men. One is the first Adam. The second one is the second Adam. The second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ, made a way so that all men could be saved. Romans chapter 5 is one of the greatest chapters in the book. And it really goes all the way through Romans 6. Verse 23. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin, not sins, is death, but the gift of God is eternal. What else is in here?
Eternal life.
Eternal life.
All right. Eternal life. If this has eternal life, then you've got it. How long is eternal life?
Eternal.
Well, why are people telling me that you can lose your salvation by something you're doing? If in this gift is eternal life, and He gives you the gift, and He makes you righteous, like, you still got the dollar? Sure, right? It's a gift. That has eternal life. You got the dollar, you got eternal. And you got a dollar, eternal life. You don't have the dollar, you don't have it. It's a gift. Say, when did you receive that gift? Well, I thought before I got the gift that God was going to put my good on one side, my bad on the other, and weigh me out. That's what I thought. I believed that all my life. I thought I better behave myself. I quit smoking, dancing, playing cards, and chasing wild women. Well, except for one. That was you, honey. You're the only wild woman I chased. Here's the thing. I didn't just chase her. I caught her. You know, there's a few women hard to catch, but she was hard. The second date, I had cigarettes in my pocket. That's what she did. She came up literally. I don't date people that smoke. What did I do? When?
Right then.
I guess right then. Too hard to know.
You know what I mean? I'm telling you guys how to do it. Your wife asks you to do something? If it's all in your humanly power to do it, do it. I wasn't even married, but I was going to marry that girl. I took those cigarettes and I crumpled them up and threw them away. So what else you need, baby? Will you be mine? She said, honey, we'll have to see on that. The gift is eternal life. People say, well, I don't believe in eternal life. Then you don't believe the Bible. The reason you're going to go to hell is because you're rejecting the Bible. God is very pleasantly put in a little package that He made you righteous, justified, holy, without blame, accepted, and eternal life if you will receive it. So why don't people receive it?
Right.
Because of pride. It stopped me for almost 3 months, 2.5. And I put that thing in my mind and I thought, well, you know, I'm better than some. You know, I quit smoking now. But the 24th of August, 1983, I quit joking with it. And I didn't count myself any good. And I received the gift. And what's magnificent about that is anybody can get it. It's so simple. People say, that's too simple. How many of you have people say, that's crazy, that's just too simple? It's a gift. He didn't have to do it. It wasn't simple for Him. He had to pay the cost of the cross. Amen? Well, guys, listen. You can have that gift just like Brent received it. All you have to do is claim it. It's not. You that are watching on the internet, all you have to do is claim it. I had a guy sit down with me after church one time and say, well, this date thing, I just don't understand it. And I said, well, let me share this with you for just a minute. Well, I went over to Dave's house and showed him $1 million. Said, I'm going to put this in your account. You're going to see it show up in your account. And I let him touch $1 million, and I went and put it in the bank for him and brought him the receipt in his bank account. Do you think he would remember when that happened? Well, I'm not sure when I got saved. It's kind of vague and ambiguous. Okay, you've just been given eternal life. You can't remember that? No, it's kind of, you know, I've grown up in it all of my life. Really? Doesn't work that way. When did you receive the gift? People talk about a date. Look in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians actually. Let me get over there. I'll tell you in just a minute. 2 Corinthians 6. And listen to this. Brent, you know when you got the dollar, right? We don't need it down to the second. Now, he's remembering when he got the dollar. But you couldn't remember when you got eternal life. That's weird. That's strange. I trusted the Lord that day. And you can't remember? It's vague. What'd you trust him? I asked this one guy who came to church. He said, well, I've been saved 3 times. I said, no. When was one of those 3 times did you receive the gift? He said, I don't know. And you know what I said? You're lost. I said, well, that's mean. Oh, I'd rather him go to hell. I'll just keep my mouth. Grace is being able to speak to your friends in love and telling them, hey, you know what? What you're believing is wrong. You're going to end up going to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. And he says, what about this time? Well, look at verse 2 here. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee, and a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I heard thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It happens in a moment of time. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? You're not growing in it. People say, well, I'm going to get saved when I get to the end. How do you know? Paul didn't say, by which also you are going to be saved eventually. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, by which also ye are saved. You got it? Mm-hmm. Not going to be saved. Not maybe saved if you do a good work afterwards. You are saved. Why? You got the gift. Man, how can I make it any more simple?
You can.
It don't get any easier. If you're wrestling with this, you know what it is? You're wrestling with God. God's trying to save you. God's trying to give you the gift. He wants you to have it. When was there a day when you got the gift? And if you got the gift, why would you act like you're working for it? Because that's what the Galatians did. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what he says in the Galatians letter? I stand in doubt of you. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you got it. Mm-hmm. You all understand? Because he says, you that begun in the Spirit are you now made perfect by the
flesh.
Don't get it. You said you got the gift. That made you everything. Why are you now thinking you're perfecting yourself in the flesh? What?
I reached this down to the dog just as you said, don't get it.
I just need to look at her face.
That was
like,
hilarious.
That is funny. But you know what we got to do now? We got to end this Bible study because Barry is ready for watermelon. And when Barry's ready for watermelon, it's time to quit. But before we do, we want to sing to Miss Bear. Mama Bear. Happy birthday, because I believe her birthday's coming up Wednesday. See, right as I walk in, people say, well, you don't have the Spirit of God. He tells me everything about her. So why don't we wish her a happy birthday?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you too.
Because he just had a birthday too.
Happy dear Lisa
and Sullivan.
Happy birthday to you.
I know that was professionally done with that vibrato, but don't try that at home, please. All right. Any questions from the Bible class? Did that answer your question with the...
Yeah, it did.
Raise your hand.
I got some more questions, but we'll talk later.
All right, well, that one to me.
I have a trick question. Are we sinners because we sin?
No.
We sin because we're sinners.
Yes.
That's correct.
Right. Absolutely.
I have a question.
Well,
I
mean, that's other churches.
Yeah, absolutely.
The soul and the Holy Spirit. And I just don't, I'm curious to know what, how they interact.
Very that is a good question. Maybe next Monday we'll go over the Holy Spirit and the function of it versus what they do in the kingdom message versus what the Spirit does in the body message. So we'll maybe do that. That would be a good study. That is a good study.